You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to Business Women Australia podcast, the podcast for ambitious women who are serious about business success and leadership development, keen to increase their knowledge and skills.
Welcome to episode 7 of Business Women Australia podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Have you ever been in a situation that had you completely at a standstill? In fact, you wondered how on earth you were going to get through this setback. My guest today is a firm believer in staying positive, and she believes it is better to try and fail than not to try at all. So sharing her insights today is Tanuja Sanders, and she is going to help us to find opportunities in the setbacks that we experience. Tanuja is a renowned project manager with over 25 years of experience working in the engineering field that has earned her quite a reputation as a completions manager and a hard taskmaster, having delivered projects with cumulative value in excess of $10 billion Australian throughout her career. In pursuit of a more sustainable lifestyle and to expand her envelope to embrace her other passions and skill sets, she started her entrepreneurial within the food industry by becoming an olive oil producer. Her business, the Sathia Olive Company, has a niche with their exotic range of infused olive oils, table olives and Duca that are now sold through various WA supermarket outlets such as Farmer Jack's, IGA stores, The Herdsman, Spud Shed and other gourmet outlets. Now on today's show, Tanuja is going to share, learn to love, believe in yourself because that is the key to your success. Stay positive as everything that happens in your life happens to be the best thing that's happening at the time. And it is better to try and fail than not to try at all. So welcome to the show, Tanuja.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thanks for having me.
You have had so many incredible experiences in your career and engineering field and now in your own business, now in the Sathia Olive Company, which is the infused olive oils. Lots of highlights and insights that you'll be sharing today, particularly around overcoming setbacks and challenges. So often we hear the success stories, and we're certainly going to hear your success story too, but often the conversation doesn't delve into the setbacks, the challenges that we've overcome. And let's face it, in our entrepreneurial journey and in business, there often can be setbacks. And if we let them stop us, we'll never get to achieve the goal that we set ourselves. Yes?
That's correct, Anne-Marie. I mean, setbacks and challenges, I always look at them to say that they are opportunities to continue personal and professional development. I mean, if it wasn't for setbacks and challenges, life would stagnate. I mean, every one of us face challenges every day of our lives. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why me? Mm-hmm. Why is it happening to me? You know, the fact is that being the recipients of these challenges, we are in fact blessed. You know, it is a blessing that the superpower has so much confidence in your abilities to cope that he throws these challenges on you,
yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. And truly, I mean, looking back into my life journey, I would say each of my setbacks that I've faced have been the best things that ever happened to me because that's what has made me who I am today.
Let's talk about learning to love, believing in yourself, because that's the key to success. When you think about some of the setbacks that you've been able to work through, were these, you know, learning to love and believing in yourself, these are obviously very important to you, yes?
It is true, Anne-Marie, but that's not all how I started. I mean, I was one of those girls who had very, very low self-esteem and didn't believe in myself until I had the opportunity to have a very good, hard look at myself of where I'm going, what I'm doing, you know. And it happens to all of us, the best of us, you know. And it's very, very important that someone said to me once, you know, why should anyone love you if you don't love yourself? And it is so true. I learned to love myself and believe and trust in myself. Only then did my journey through success start. Until that time, I found myself stuck. I had to pull myself out of that to be able to have the taste of success.
I love that. Now, Tanuja, for many of us who are experiencing that, you know, that inner doubt and that inner confidence and that inner self-belief, it's not yet at a level where it really can support us and pull us forward. And you obviously had a conversation with someone who said, you know what, if you don't love yourself, you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect others to? And you had that mindset shift or an awareness that, hang on, I need to start changing my beliefs in myself and also my mindset. Were there some other things that you did too to support you in developing that? Because sometimes it's easy to say, look, this is what you need to start doing. But if we've been following, you know, a belief or having a belief for quite some time, it can take a little bit of time to change, can't it?
Yes, it does take some time. But again, it's a choice of transformation. You have to believe that whatever happens in life happens for a reason and for a very good reason. It's not because you're being punished or it's because you're not loved. It is none of those. It's in fact the opposite. You know, growing up, you know, little girl, I faced really big setbacks in my life. And one of the leadership courses I attended, the trainer asked us to share our most vulnerable moments within our group. And in doing so, he was of the opinion that by sharing our vulnerable moments, we would remove the roadblocks that is holding us back from achieving our potential. It is so important that we do that. And that's where we can change what is called a baggage or our insecurities into as a learning. Mm-hmm. It becomes a learning. You can derive a learning from everything, all your experiences. Take an example. As a child, I was a victim of child abuse. Mm-hmm. I was only 5 or 6 years of age, you know, and nobody deserves that. It's unfortunate when it happens. And, you know, my mother, who was not in a position, I don't think she was in a position or mindset to be able to protect me.
Yeah.
And looking back into her life, she was the youngest of 3 daughters to my grandmother, who was widowed very young, you know, she must have had a very, very tough life, a widowed woman bringing up 3 daughters in India in an era when men were very dominating. Mm-hmm. I mean, it must have been very tough. So no wonder she carried a lot of baggage with her. But unfortunately, she didn't attend or address her issues. So she was not in a position to protect us, you know.
Yes.
So in my 40s, when I, you know, opened up and took up some courage to share with my parents my ordeal, my mom actually showed no surprise. She actually said she knew about it, you know. And to me, it bothered me at that time, that response from her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, if you knew, how come you did not protect me?
Yes.
You know, and then the penny dropped, you know, that perhaps she has been through similar ordeals in her life that she never addressed them, and hence she couldn't protect me, you know. I always wonder how the victims become the worst perpetrators. It is amazing, you know, a daughter-in-law who's had a very tough mother-in-law, it turns out to be the worst mother-in-law herself.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't address her issues, you know. So in reality, why am I sharing all this with you all is to see what opportunity did that setback create for me,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it became the foundation stone of my dream. My dream was to be a powerful woman in a male-dominated environment. I wanted to be very powerful. And that was my dream as a young girl. And I pushed myself, I studied engineering, I got myself scholarship in one of the toughest exams and well-known universities, Indian Institute of Technology. And I did very well, you know. And another thing I learned out of that setback was that I have this heightened sense of safety. I can smell danger from distance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And many other things I learned what not to do from my parents as much as what to do. in life, you know. Mm. So they are all learnings. And, you know, I guess your body responds in a funny way. You know, it has its own self-built mechanisms of protection, you know. Yes. So I broke out with psoriasis from head to toe, you know. It's an autoimmune disorder led by stress, I guess. So I was a teenager, and I guess it was my way of not feeling attractive enough or attracted by the male gender, you see. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was a self-protection mechanism that I had built myself looking back. But then I had very low self-esteem, you mm-hmm. know, so you can never win there, you know. So,
and look, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that, you know, that and being so transparent. I mean, when we hear your story, I mean, what a just a horrendous for a young child to experience. Yet what I hear in your story is that you really had that inner strength and you made that decision. And how often that it is the difference between someone being able to move through such an incredibly difficult setback was the decision, and you know what, I am not going to allow this cycle to continue. And in actual fact, you know, I'm going to make a change. And often it is that decision, isn't it, to what action am I going to take? Am I going to continue the cycle? Am I going to continue allowing the setback to define who I am? Or am I going to take this opportunity with both hands and turn it into an opportunity? And your career and the story that you just shared about, you know, being in a male-dominated industry and doing so well is just testament to you, you know, making that decision and taking that right action step. Staying positive is very important. And obviously positivity has been important for you too, right throughout that experience and also how you tackled and continue to work forward. Speak a little bit more about that, because in situations of setback and often such incredible challenges that challenge you to the core, it can be hard to stay positive, can't it?
It is. But again, you have to believe that whatever is happening for the best. If you have that absolute blindfolded belief system that says whatever is happening, that is the best thing that is happening to you, you will get through it. And always see the opportunity that it is creating, or be open. Only if you're positive are you then a recipient of those opportunities. And opportunities come to everyone. You have to be in the right mindset to be able to receive them or to acknowledge them and do something with them, you know. So there are so many setbacks. I mean, did it stop there? No, absolutely not. You know, we moved to Australia and my son was 9 months old at the time. I was married. I had an arranged marriage. It's quite foreign in Western world to know that educated women like me had an arranged marriage. But, you know, at that time, that's a norm. And I settled for an arranged marriage. And my husband happened to have a migration visa to Australia. So that was exciting to me because, you know, I couldn't see that for me to make my dream come true to be a powerful woman in my profession in India, I couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, it was so male dominated and sexual harassment was so massive and prevalent there. I thought maybe moving to Australia would be great, perhaps I'll have a better chance here, you know. But then I found myself in a situation where I'm in a foreign country with no friends and family around you, and I was in a very abusive marriage. Mm-hmm. So after going through domestic violence, criminal courts, you know, he was charged with 14 charges of assault in Melbourne. He wasn't convicted though, and I walked away from that marriage. And at that time, believe it or not, I was finishing up my master's by research in coal gasification in power generation. And I completed that in spite of all the turmoil that I was going through. And I was offered a job with a engineering consultancy firm in Perth, GHD, Black & Veatch. And I took that job and I moved here in June 1996. My son was 4 years old at the time. And, you know, after I moved here, he has never seen his father ever after that. You know, the man disappeared out of the country because he didn't want to pay child support.
Right.
And, you know, I saw the opportunity. Mm-hmm. In spite of me being totally, utterly financially broke and emotionally broke, I still saw the opportunity. The opportunity to me at that time was to create some stability in my son's life. It's unfair that he was pushed into that sort of unstable situation, and to create that opportunity, to create some stability was my main goal at the mm-hmm. time. So I decided not to pursue my ex for any money or any child support, because in that I saw that there was some stability I could offer my son. And really, I always was a believer that what is yours will always find its way back to you. Mm-hmm. And what is not yours, even if you put it in a safest safe in the world, it will find its way to leave you if it's not yours. So, you know, I always had this confidence that if he owed me, or if life, universe owes me, it'll find its way back to me. So don't stress about it. Just keep working at it and you'll get there, you know. So that's the attitude I always have in life. And money lost can always be earned, but time lost is lost forever. So don't wait for anything. Just keep going.
Hmm. Oh, Tanuja, if we could only see each other face to face, I would just lean over and give you such a big hug. What an absolute inspiration that you are through sharing your story. When you look back, I mean, I can really see and understand that there was determination, there was tenacity there, there was real resilience, I think, you know, that had you look at these things, these situations, and work through them. Did you also find that you, at that stage, were able to get people around you to support you, or tell us a little bit about that? Because sometimes we often go through a lot of these setbacks thinking we're the only people that are experiencing these kind of things and not having support to be able to talk about them. Did you have support systems then?
You know, at that time, coming from India, I only had friendships within the Indian community. And unfortunately, because I dared to be different, I was not a stereotype Indian woman, subservient to their husband, and I went through divorce. Mm. I basically found myself alone and lonely because all my friends shunned me. You know, they didn't want anything to do with me. And I then expanded my friendships to include people from all backgrounds. And I embraced them, and they were such angels. My work colleagues, people that I was surrounded with at that time, they were such support to me. They gave mm-hmm. me some words of wisdom, you know, and there are always angels that come from, you know, they're human beings, but they're angels at that time mm-hmm. In that role, because they give you that support, helping hand, and positivity to keep going, you know. And that's what I received from the community, from my work colleagues, from people that I met in Perth at the time. And the outreach group, the domestic violence outreach group in Melbourne, they were tracking me constantly. And they, you know, they invited me to come and talk to them once after a few years. And I did. And they asked me a question. Their director asked me a question, said, "What did you do different to other women? Because we seem to help a lot of women, but they seem to come back with the same problems, different relationships mm-hmm. all the time. But what did you do different?" I answered them saying that, you know, I took the opportunity to have a very good, hard look at myself and address my insecurities that was contributing to my failed relationships and marriage. I also gave myself time to heal, you know, not just jump into another relationship, you know. And only when I started to make, you know, love myself, believe and trust in myself, I met this wonderful man, my current husband. Aww. He's an American who came to build a power plant from America, for which I was a lead design engineer. And 15 days intimacy, that was it, all it took for us to decide to get married. And you know, that happened because I learned to believe and trust in myself and my choices. Yes. You know, so
And how long are you celebrating now being together?
20 years.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, so it's just over 19 years of marriage now. So yeah, so it's pretty amazing how the life journey takes you through various challenges, you know. So yeah.
Wow, what an incredible story. And you know, the last point that you'd love to share some insights around, you know, it's better to try and fail than not to try at all. I mean, the lesson, the insights that you've shared around your personal life, I'm sure you are leveraging them in your day-to-day business dealings as well. And if you didn't take that long look at yourself and really gave yourself time to heal, you would never have opened yourself up to opportunities to find love again. You're now nearly celebrating 20 years with your current husband. So had you not taken that time, you may not be, you know, where you are today. Let's talk a little bit about better to try to fail than not try at all, because so many of us are scared of failure, aren't we?
Yes. I mean, that's the biggest mistake entrepreneurs do. I mean, procrastinate, you know, they're scared of failure, so they procrastinate. By not trying at all, you basically are losing time, and time lost is lost forever. Money lost, however, you can always earn it back. So I always tell that the way I handle my business is I always create a sense of urgency. And in creating sense of urgency and time frames, I am able to meet certain outcomes. And those outcomes, I do them in a manageable chunks. And always do it in manageable chunks that give you immediate outcomes, because those immediate outcomes actually will tell you if you're on right track or not. Mm-hmm. So it's important that you do it in manageable. Don't overwhelm yourself by taking a big leap into your business. Celebrate small achievements and learn from the failures that you can always cope with, so you don't drown yourself. And in that manner, you actually start making progress in the right direction.
Yes, perfect. So when you went from then transitioning from an engineering role, project management role, through to your now current company working in infused olive oils, tell us, what was it that had you kind of be interested in that industry? Was it because you enjoyed eating or consuming the infused olive oils? Would just love to get a bit of insights into how you transitioned from engineering into infused olive oil.
You know, it's interesting how it all started. I mean, just to be able to start engineering consultancy. Why did I start engineering consultancy? Mm-hmm. It all started with a setback. The setback was that I lost the job with GHD, you know, and that put me on a journey to say, I felt devastated. I absolutely felt devastated when I lost the job, you know. I said to myself, I will never ever put myself in a position where I'm so much dependent on that one thing in life, you know. So I said, let me start my own consultancy. And at any given time, I should have two or three or more clients. So you don't have all eggs in one basket.
Yes.
So that was my main reason why I started my entrepreneurial journey as an engineering consultant. And traveled the world, and I've done projects. I grew into project manager. I studied business, you know, graduate certificate business management. I earned myself credentials and did projects. And what a journey that was. And in that time frame, I actually bought this property in Bunbury area, Western Australia, 100 acres land. And we built up dream home, and then we planted 2,500 olive trees just purely because they look good, you know, they
yes.
look lovely in an open paddock. That was the reason we planted these trees, and the trees started fruiting, right? Mm-hmm. They started
as they do.
And then I didn't know. I plucked one fruit, put it in my mouth, and it was horrible. I says, "What am I going to do with this?" You know. So my Italian gardener showed me how to make table olives and, you know, how to pickle the olives. And growing up as a child, you know, I spoke about my grandma before, right? She was of the opinion that girls' place was in the kitchen and girls were born to serve men. That was her belief system. I didn't like her very much, but, you know, at that young age, I had no choice. I had to learn to cook. And funnily enough, cooking became my passion and my skill set. My friends and family, they call me a food chemist. They think, you know, I cook wonderfully and I can throw parties and entertain people quite well, you see. So yes. I took that skill set of mine and I was able to create this wonderful, unique product range within, and we started the company, the Satya Olive Company. I became one of the best table olive makers. I make very unique table olives, Duka, and I started this whole new range of infused oils, of olive oils, which I don't think anyone, some of them that I make, I don't think anyone in this world makes them. And they were the infused olive oil range that I started with our company, the Satya Olive Company. And you know, you were saying at about, why did I start that business? Why am I putting so much effort? You know, I always wanted, was of the opinion that sustainability is important, not just in your own lifestyle, but in anything you do and around your community. Sustainability is very, very is key to everything in life. And I found myself that as an engineering consultancy business in 2013, end of 2013, early 2014, when the mining boom came to an end in Australia, suddenly we had no contracts through our consultancy. Absolutely not one or two clients. We had no clients. And this is not just in Australia. In fact, the problem is global and continuing right now. I mean, engineering industry, it has its worst time at the moment. You know, it's picking up slightly. But so I found myself, we have no contracts, no sort of sustainability there. So I then ventured. I then suddenly saw the opportunity in my olive industry. And by then we were getting commercial. Our oil we were making was in four-digit numbers. I said, wow, here it is. Here it is, you know. And I, by developing this unique range, I says, this will develop a sustainable business model, which is recession proof. It can give us some sort of cash flow in our business and also return on this huge investment I had made on the olive farm. And you know, I saw the opportunity and I grabbed that opportunity, and in a very, very short time I have now penetrated into 15 supermarkets within 5 months, and my target is to have our products on the shelf of 30 supermarkets by end of the year. So look, time frames are important. You got to give yourself a time frame. You know, I heard one of your podcasts where you said vision without execution is hallucination. It is so true, isn't it? I mean, really?
You can visualize till the cows come home or to the olive tree's fruit. You have to do something with the olives, don't you?
Yeah. There was a time when I was saying, okay, let me just pump out the swimming pool and fill up with oil, and maybe I'll go swimming in the swimming pool with oil in it, you know, and have the biggest oil bath around.
Amazing. Oh, just amazing. I think we can have you back on another show to see how you are really kicking those milestones, getting into supermarkets, because I know that that can be a challenge in and of itself. To compete against so many other brands that are vying for placement with, you know, across various supermarket and chains. So, I mean, you are just a woman on fire. I mean, really, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you today, you know, sharing some of those incredibly vulnerable moments. But I think in your sharing of that, you really do empower others who perhaps have experienced similar, you know, similar journey to what you have, that really when you put your mind to something, you make that decision that, you know what, I'm going to love myself and honor myself because I am lovable and I'm honorable, and you set your goals and your sights and you take that action, that consistent action, you really can achieve whatever your heart desires. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing that. Now, again, for everybody who would love to sample some of these, what sounds like incredible olive oils and table olives and dukkah. So Farmer Jack's, IGA stores, The Herdsman, Spud's Shed, and other gourmet outlets. Yes, yeah? Are there any other places that we can go and see and purchase your oils?
Online, you can purchase it online through our website, www.satyaoliveco.com. Great. Again, www.satyaoliveco.com. You should be able to make an online purchase.
Perfect. And of course, we'll put all of those details on the show notes. Sathya spelled S-A-T-H-Y-A Olive Co. Great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne-Marie. It was a pleasure.
Well, that brings us to the end of another show. I mean, what an incredible journey. What an incredible woman. What an incredible story. Thank you, Tanuja, for sharing that. Now, if you want to find out more about Business Women Australia and how to become part of this dynamic collective of leaders and learners so you can gain the knowledge and the skills to help you succeed in business and in life, go to businesswomenaustralia.com.au. That's businesswomenaustralia.com.au.
Hi, it's Anne-Marie. Have you enjoyed listening to the show and have thought about creating your own podcast so you too can become an influential voice in your industry, but you just don't know where to start? I've created a special gift just for you. It's my free mini training, Podcasting with Purpose, where you'll learn what you need to do to stand out, be heard, and influence your audience from your very first podcast. I'm also giving you my step-by-step podcast production workflow checklist, including the tools I use, as well as a checklist of no-cost and low-cost tools to get you started. To access, go to annemariecross.com/mini-training. That's annemariecross.com/mini-training.